It's OMF on EEI.
Snell, who's hit a couple of threes so far in the game, gets out to Gallinari. Here we go again. Gallinari with 1 foot in the logo.
Oh,
you kidding me? Young. Oh, come on. Come on. Herter with the crossover in the paint. Kicks it to the corner. Collins for three. Young kicks it back out. Gallinari passes up. Now takes it.
Oh, jeez.
He's back. Goodwin will take the three and knock it down.
Well, there it is. You just witnessed the
history.
Most threes ever given up by a Boston Celtic team.
And this was the worst loss of the season just because of the effort.
Is this rock bottom?
I mean, yeah. The only way they could go is up if they decide to go up. Here's the problem that I have, Abby, okay? It's just no heart. And it starts with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. All I saw out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was bad body language, shooting up a whole lot of shots, complaining to the referees, not playing any type of defense.
Perker's right with this one. I mean, this one was outright embarrassing. There's one thing about you have a bad shooting night. There's another one. You don't play real good defense. In this one, no heart. Zero. Zero. The effort level. Zero. You were playing a 13-18 team that had lost the night before against Cleveland. You lost the night before against Dallas. Oh, yeah, you lost two nights before that. You would think you would show up with some type of effort. Nothing. Nothing.
What hurt me more than anything, because yesterday we were talking about, I felt like we kind of, Jason Tatum, taking too much blame. Right? Too much blame for not sharing the basketball and getting others involved because the others aren't any good. So I think they were taking too much blame. What upset me yesterday watching this game, it really disgusted me, was that your two stars, Tatum and Brown, last night they quit. Last night there was zero effort from them. They were out of it. Jason Tatum, 4-for-20 from the floor, 1-for-8 from three. Jaylen Brown, 6-for-16, 0-for-6 from three, 1-for-14, the two of them. Now, you can be critical of them because you don't think they're getting everybody else involved, but they're still going out night and night, and every single night, and they're playing a good game, right? They're putting up 26. They're sort of doing what we're accustomed to seeing them doing. They're just maybe not getting others involved. Last night was different. Last night looked like neither one of them, like it came to a head for them or so. I don't know. Back to back, just tired of it mentally, just lost. I don't know what to tell you.
Same
but those two guys.
Like, the only way you were going to do it is to fight through it. Lots of energy. Really just really put everything on the line, even though it was, you know, we're not technically at the halfway point yet. And it's almost like, well, not worth it. Not really, can't really get anything out of it. We just need a break. And we just want to kind of swallow our pride a little bit instead of using it as an asset. That, to me, was kind of what it felt like. Because I, to be honest with you, like the first quarter, oh, I'm done. Like, listen, if you're not going to try, why bother? Why am I going to bother watching this game when nobody is doing anything remotely encouraging? Mm-hmm. Like zero. It's like, okay, so we took one on the chin. We had a really bad game. Then we had a really close loss. You know, so we give up that. What was it? So three games. It was a 24-point deficit that they had against, was it Washington? Can't remember who it was. They come back. Who was it?
New Orleans.
The Pelicans.
New Orleans, yeah.
So New Orleans comeback.
Overtime.
A franchise record, 24-point comeback. Then you had the Dallas game, heartbreaker. Okay, where you get beat on two last-second three-point shots from, like, half-court range. And then you have this game. So you had three unbelievable stinkers, all different in their own, but all equally as painful. I just don't know when they wake up and said, like, enough's enough.
You know what I think it is, too? Like so you've had, I mean, everybody, media, play-by-play, color guys calling this team out for lack of effort, president, GM, everybody, the coach. And I just don't know if – I think these guys, some of these guys are so young that they don't know what it means, what's going on around them. When owners call you out, when GMs call you out. Like guys – like last night, Jeff Teague and Tristan Thompson were your best players. They were your best players. And Jeff Teague hasn't been your best player in a game all year. Maybe in the first week you had a couple good ones. Because I think they're veterans. They know what happens when they start hearing owners and coaches and GMs talk the way they talk. These kids don't. Like those guys, the veterans, they know what happens. You know what happens? Coaches get fired. Guys get traded. Some of your friends get moved. And you're like, oh, my God, we were losing, and now my coach got fired. Oh, my God, we're losing, and now Marcus Smart got traded because they had to change things up. These guys are so young, they don't even realize it. They don't even know what is going on. The veterans, two guys. Two adults. They do. They've seen friends get traded because their team is underperforming. They've seen their coaches get fired because their teams are underperforming. Tatum, Brown, all the other kids on his team, they don't know better. They don't know what the hell it means. So that's why they don't they don't react.
Yeah. So you threw the Tatum line out there, 4 of 20, 1 of 8 from 3-point territory. And here's the biggest problem I had with Tatum last night is, okay, you have a bad shooting night. It happens. Okay, it happens to the greatest ones of them all. They have bad shooting nights. You know what they usually do? They do other things so that they can help the team win. He had one rebound and one assist, and he played 32 minutes of the
game. Yeah, that's why it was like sour grapes.
One
like,
rebound,
it's
one
like,
assist.
Why
that's
bother?
It.
So why bother?
So to me, that tells me I love shooting the basketball, but God, if it's not working for me, I'm not doing all of that other stuff. That's the nights. If you don't have it, you set other people up. You do other things to help your team win. I think these two kids are extremely talented. They have a great skill set. I think they're getting better as players, but they still don't understand winning.
But Christian, let me ask you, have you been on a team early in your career? Like, is there a moment where you sort of realize that? Like, what I'm talking about? Because I felt like with me, it was like Jimmy Williams early on. Like, we weren't playing well. Next thing you know, Jimmy got fired. And I was like, damn. You know, like, you don't even realize, like, the way people are talking, like, what is about to happen? Because you're so green. You're so young.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Brad Stevens was to get fired, Tatum and Brown would be like, holy smokes. I didn't think.
That's my fault.
If I knew that he was going to get fired over this, well, now I feel awful. Because I just tanked.
Yeah,
I just wasn't even trying.
But see, I
didn't realize you're going to cost somebody their job.
I don't know.
Does.
I think when you're older, I think you're just numb to it. You just realize that.
But the first time it happens, you're like, damn.
Well, what was
you traded away three guys? Wow.
See, I said this the other day when it was Wednesday when it was announced that they made the All-Star game, the All-Star team, sorry, that it's like, I feel like it's the worst thing that could happen to him. One, okay, lots of criticism. You got two All-Stars. You should be winning. Hey, you're an All-Star. You can't take days off. Hey, you're an All-Star. Don't pout. Hey, you're an All-Star. Stop. Don't give me a woe is me. Don't give me excuses. You can't use age. You can't use this. You can't. You're an All-Star. Play like an All-Star. That's what comes with it. And now you got the criticism that is coming to the Brad Stevens, to the Danny Ainges, to the members of the executive side of this thing who are making all the decisions. They're going, well, it's got to be somebody's fault. Now you have everybody calling for people's jobs. Like, nobody knows what they're doing anymore, because how could you actually be this bad with two All-Stars? You shouldn't. It should be impossible.
So the
here we are.
And you're right. And the questions are coming to Danny Ainge, and they should be coming to Danny Ainge based on the roster. They're coming to Brad Stevens based on the fact that why is this team taking three steps back? They're in the ninth seed right now in the Eastern Conference. So Brad was asked the question after the game. Does he have to change the method of what he does now with these players? Because it's not working.
I would say, Gary, what I say to you and everyone else is not what I say in the locker room necessarily. How you say it is certainly very important. I've had my moments, let's put it that way. That said, I think this team looks like right now it's balancing playing unconfidently and unsure with the fact that we've had a couple that slipped away. And so the only way I know to get that back is to dive on the floor, is to take charges, is to like sprint to help your teammates up, is to fight for every single possession. And that's our charge.
I was waiting for him to say, like, and then we're going to make them get up at 6 in the morning and we're going to run laps.
Dawn patrol.
Like college.
Dawn patrol, yeah.
But right? All he's talking about
there. That's what we used to call it.
Yeah. He's talking about is what is obvious.
We're going to lift at 5:30 in the morning. Why 5:30? Just to piss you off. That's why we're doing it, to see if you can handle it. Like, it's just, I don't know.
But he's talking about the basics there. He's talking about lack of effort, because the rest of it is still a problem.
Well, let me ask you a
question.
So you
could go and dive for loose balls or whatever. How are you still going to improve this offense?
So when was this speech?
Right
about diving for balls? I mean, when was it after? Was it after last night's game? Are we now going to start doing it? Or do you think he's maybe said this, I don't know, a week ago? when they were playing like crap. What are they, 7-14? Maybe 2 weeks ago.
So I think
hey, we got to pick up the offense, pick up the intensity, dive for loose balls. Is that so? Is that message? Does that message look like it's getting through?
So I think it was what he said was pretty accurate in that I think he's probably saying different stuff to these guys privately than he is publicly. Most coaches do that, right? They say one thing to the public because they don't want to throw their guy under the bus, but privately they're having other conversations. So wouldn't we guess that he has sat down and talked with these players and certainly talked to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but they're not responding?
See, that to me is the problem, because if you can't score, how are you impacting the game? Hey, you're cold. You don't have it tonight. You know what? You're tired. Your legs are gone. I get it. How are you impact? What type of message are you sending? I feel like every team has a dog in them. Hell, look at, I mean, you can look at the Lakers if you want, and even though they were without a bunch of their starters, they got just beat up by Utah. But every team has that in you. I think the biggest issue is that it's a three-game stretch. These last three games that have just been really painful. The unbelievable come from behind by the Pelicans, the last second shot by Dallas, and then this pathetic excuse for a basketball game.
Yeah, but I think this has been going on now for 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, they haven't played well in a long time. You know, they've had some stretches where they haven't played a 48-minute game yet. In 2 months. So they've played a little where there's been a spurt here or there. There was a spurt the other night against Dallas in the fourth quarter where they played hard and well at both ends of the floor. But this has been going on for some time. I don't see how they're going to fix any of this stuff, guys.
No, I don't see actually it. The only way it gets bearable, and we keep using this guy's name, and I feel like you kind of have to. You have to use Marcus Smart's name.
The seed.
The seed, which everybody grows, as long as he's not shooting.
Who else to make those plays besides Marcus Smart?
But he will make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, now, God forbid, he comes back and somebody else gets hurt. Then you're right back where you started. Like, you're right back where you started because you need bodies.
And Stevens talked about, and I think it was one very important reason why you missed Marcus Smart.
How much do you guys really miss Marcus Smart?
You asked me the question, so this should not be taken out of context as making an excuse, right? So we should play better than we have without him. What he brings to the table is obvious on both ends of the court. Anybody that watches basketball knows that, right? It makes it so that your rotations, you always have two of those guys in the game.
That is it. You know, you have a fourth player. You always have two of those guys in the game. You watched last night, and I think I tweeted at one point, like, who's Jaylen Brown is out in the court with him? You know, when Jason Tatum's out in the court, you know, and more so last night, obviously, because Kemba wasn't there, but even when Kemba is there, you know, there'll be a moment where Tatum is out in the court with Pritchard, Nesmith, Thompson, Tice. Maybe a side order Ojale or Javante Green or Grant Williams. Like, they're on an island. You know, and like last year when you had Gordon Hayward, you know, a playmaker or whatever, you always had two. Sometimes you had three. Whether it's, you know, you talk about Tatum, Brown, Jaylen, Gordon, Kemba, Marcus Smart. You always had two, at least, and usually three on the court at the same time. Now, when you look out there, there are five-minute stretches where Tatum is out there with four guys that he shouldn't be out there with him. Jaylen's out there with four guys shouldn't be out there with him. Like, there's no second guy.
Yeah, I get that, and I agree with that, especially the what you're getting right now out of Kemba Walker. It's just non-existent, and he's got to take the second night of back-to-backs off. I agree with all of that. I still think that these two guys, because they are going to be overplayed because of the exact reason you just gave, that they're going to be doubled at all times. Nobody's going to leave them. They're trapping them, that they have to give up the ball. And Daniel Tice is capable of giving you 10 or 12 on a given night. Same thing with Tristan Thompson. You can do some stuff and get those guys are going to get wide open shots because nobody's going to spend any time defending them.
But who can give you 20?
Nobody.
Exactly.
No, but you got to. But I see great players do it all the time. They give up the shot mainly because they can't. They're not going to fight through a double team. What Tatum is doing every night is he thinks he is Superman, so he's going to say, "Screw it." They get two guys
well,
on.
I'm just saying, there's a big difference between giving it up to Hayward or giving it up to Smart or giving up to Kemba and Jaylen. You're giving it up to somebody that you're confident can do something with.
I agree with that, but you know,
I wouldn't be confident giving it up
Lakers,
either if I was
LeBron
out there with Teague and Green and Grant Williams and Thompson.
Yeah, but LeBron's doing the same thing right now. He's got no Anthony Davis. He's got other injuries. He's giving the ball up because what teams are doing is they're every night they're sitting there going, all we have to do is stop the big fella here. Number 23, we shut him down.
Yeah, he's
and we got it. Okay? So, but if they want to be great players, they have to expand their game. And again, last night with Jason Tatum, why aren't you dealing with somebody else? They're shutting you down. They're not giving you that shot.
It is. It's like, okay, so they're here's the thing. You're an all-star. So, hey, listen, everything's on your shoulders. Everyone's going to talk to you first. So they're going to ask you what the problem is first. You're going to have to point the thumb, not the finger. But, I mean, it is funny because Wick's out there saying, hey, it's not Danny's fault. It's not Brad's fault. Danny's saying it's not Brad's fault. It's his fault. So whose fault is it?
All of the above. I mean, Danny hasn't put a strong enough roster together. They have gone with his youth role. That is what they wanted to do.
It's a rebuild.
Yeah, it's a rebuild. They're in a rebuild.
I didn't realize they were in a rebuild.
They are.
Apparently they're in a rebuild.
I don't think Celtics
fans thought they were in a rebuild.
Christian, you compared it to Golden State. They're going with the Golden State.
In the beginning.
Right, they're not going with the Cleveland or the Miami rebuild. No, I'm talking about the championship teams or the Laker rebuild right now where you bring in veterans, Brooklyn. They're not doing that. They're going with the youth. And the problem with that is it takes a long time because the youth have to mature. So these are two really talented players. Are they mature NBA players? No.
The thing is that there's so many issues, okay? Forget about, so you have players, but you look at the roster just overall. They have so many guys on this roster, they're just not NBA players. They're not NBA players. Like, you got to play Tristan Thompson and Tice at the same time. At the same time. Just because you don't have any wing players. You don't have any more players. And Kemba's taking days off, like, every now and then.
That kills you.
You got about
nine guys that you should only two of them. Like, you should only have two. Like a Grant Williams and an Ogilvy or a Javonte Green, or not nine of them. Not, you know, he's got too many of these guys, whether it's Teague and Javonte Green and Ogilvy, and keep going down. Grant Williams, all of them. You know, Robert Williams, you should have like a couple of them. Draymond Waters, Carson Edwards, Taco. They got like eight or nine players. They should only have two of them. And then like, you know, three or four other veterans on this team. They just, it's sad. It's like a rebuild.
So one of the things I thought was fascinating that Rick Rosbeck said in an interview we did across the street, quote, we had hoped Kyrie would stay forever and lead us all the way. He's on maybe the best team in the league right now, and so that's that. That change touched off a lot of stuff because he left. We weren't able to maybe recruit free agents from the same way. And, you know, a bit of a domino effect, but it is what it is. We went for it with Kyrie. We had a good year with him. We tried hard, and then he moved on. And so what did they do when he left? Instead of, you know, trying to figure out a different way of dealing with it, they brought in Kemba Walker. And how did they get Kemba Walker? Because Charlotte was not willing to pay him top dollar. They weren't willing to pay him max contract money. Boston was. And so now they have him for the next 2 years. 3 years this year at $34.3 million, $36 million next year, and in 2022-23 they have him for close to $38 million. And I don't know about you guys, but
is that all guaranteed?
Yes.
Oh my god!
If he's got problems with the knees,
he's not going to get better.
We've seen two seasons of this now where there's a tremendous load management on Kemba Walker.
See, this is what you have: max players, and you're not getting max production from them. That's a problem. If you're gonna have a max player, you better be getting max production out of him. I mean that's your team is set up that way. So the fact that he's not producing, or when you even look at his numbers, I mean, really, you have two of the best players in the league, and you have what used to be and what people thought were the best coach in the league, and Kemba Walker right now, 37.5% from the floor, 34.9 from three. That's not max production. That's pathetic. So what do you? No wonder Danny's trying to shop him.
But here's the other problem.
Who's
going to take him at that money? And that's my point.
So you want? Okay, how do you fix it? Okay, fine. You got to be a seller. Okay, who are you going to sell? You don't want to give up your studs. So you want to? You really want to sell Kemba Walker? Who's buying him?
You don't have assets.
Who is buying him?
Nobody's buying.
Nobody's stupid enough to take that contract.
I think the I'll tell you this. I think the guy that they can get the most for on this team right now, if we're looking at Neesmith, Langford, Pritchett, you might be able to get something for, but teams might look at him as a bench player anyway. Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters. A Daniel Theis might be the most attractive guy to another team who looks at him and says, there's a backup five for us who can play a little bit at the four, and he can stretch now and take threes. And he works his ass off defensively. That might be the best guy you've got in the trade market.
We agree that did Danny make a mistake not keeping Rozier or no?
I would say I would be involved in that conversation.
Well, he jumped on it. Yeah, now he is. And last year he was okay. He's not a bad team. He's putting up points. But, you know, it was, you know, Rozier was the problem. You know, and I think they knew that Kyrie was a problem. So could they figured out that maybe Rozier isn't a problem without Kyrie? You know, so they moved on from Rozier. That's how they got Kemba, right? And a sign and trade. So I don't know. You have Rozier here in point guard. I can't second guess that because at the time, like I thought it was the right move.
Well, here's the biggest problem.
But when you look at it now, I think you'd be better with Rozier here.
Yeah, here's the biggest problem Danny made. He's healthier. The biggest problem Danny made is you already had two guys that were scorers, though Jaylen Brown was still developing as one, but Tatum certainly had developed to the point where he was a big-time scorer in this league. And then you bring in another guy who's, 6 feet tall, and you claim he's a point guard. He's not a point guard. Kemba Walker is an undersized two guard. That's what he is. He has difficulty in the playoffs. He's having difficulty now because of the knees of actually getting the ball and driving to the hole. So everything is outside right now. And, you know, obviously those are lower percentage shots. And he has a problem with his knees, so maybe his mechanics are off. Who's distributing the ball to everybody? That's why they're better off with Marcus Smart, because he's the best facilitator they have right now.
Yeah, well, I guess to cap it, it is you get used to frustration, irritation.
Mess.
I mean, it's just not. You'll have blips where it looks good, and you know everybody, like when they play Toronto, and your favorite word, ball movement, tons and tons of ball movement when Pritchett went off, and then Tatum and Brown had a ton of assists.
Yeah,
it'll look like that
defending
again.
Defending them,
sure. So that was a good matchup for them.
I tell good you what, there's a guy. There's a guy. You want a guy? How about Kyle Lowry? I'd take him. I don't think Toronto's sending him to you, but I'd take him. I don't know what you'd have to give up for him, but I would take him because he's one of those tough guys, the Marcus Smart, you know, toughness to him, and he can handle the ball and he can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if either one of these guys, Tatum or Brown, are Batman-type guys. I feel like they're both Robins. I feel like they're both on the court at the same time, and they both are acting like Batman, but I just feel like they probably need somebody else playing that role, like taking just more heat off of them.
You know, it was interesting. You're talking about like doing it the Golden State way, right? With two guys,
yes,
like Jaylen and
Jason.
Well,
developing your guys.
Sure.
And sticking with them.
Yeah. And then you look like the year the Golden State kind of, they started to show a little bit. They had some young kids. Remember Harrison Barnes was actually a pick from them, and Draymond was young, and Clay was young, and Curry was like fourth, fifth year in that range, and they went nuts. They also had Leandro Barbosa on that team.
Yeah.
11 years in the league.
Yeah.
Andrew Bogut.
Yep.
9 years in the league. Andre Iguodala, 10 years at the time. David Lee, 9 years at the time. Sean Livingston, 9 years at the time.
That's a good point.
They were surrounded, these great young players that you built this core around, they were surrounded by 9-year veterans.
Yeah. Iguodala, great leader, too. One of those mentor guys you're talking about. Absolutely.
Five of them. Yep. Now, think about what you've surrounded your great young core 3-4 years into it.
Yeah, more younger kids who are more immature than the two stars.
Are we building like Golden State? Because if we are, nobody got the memo.
No, I think that's a legitimate point. I think Danny got caught in midstream, and that's why I thought it was interesting that Wick comment I just brought up, is that they had totally bought in, and I think we all believed that at the time. They totally bought in on Kyrie, and Kyrie being the one who would attract that other big superstar. Well, guess what? He did it in Brooklyn because he was able to attract, you know, Kevin Durant. We know how that worked out. They were hoping they were going to be able to do that in Boston. And it didn't work because Kyrie is a nut job and he didn't like probably playing with the two kids. Gordon Hayward left because of the two kids, right? Al Horford left. He didn't want to play with the two kids.
I think it's actually where it went south. You know, I know Wick's talking about when Kyrie left, you know, kind of set the ball in motion, whatever. Gordon Hayward getting hurt that first year. Like, remember, like, Jalen was going to start to come into his own. Tatum wasn't a rookie. Wasn't supposed to play all that much. He was going to get minutes. Third pick overall, I would hope so. But Gordon Hayward kind of getting all jammed up, missing that year, coming back the next year. Is he ready? Is he back? That was the whole thing. Should he even be starting? Why is he starting? You know, if he was healthy, you know, the playmaker, and you still had Jalen, you still had Tatum, and maybe Kyrie plays with Gordon Hayward and a veteran in this league, not the kids. I don't know. The things change. Like, does Danny look at it and say, listen, I got Hayward. I got, you know, I'll take one of the kids. I'll trade away one of these really good, young, talented kids to get the other piece I need. Because I've already got Kyrie. I've got Tatum to score, the young kid, or Jalen, whichever you choose. You know, Al, I got Hayward. And uses this one draft pick to get that monster piece. It never came to that because Hayward was hurt. He missed the entire year and took him 2-3 years.
No, and if it had worked with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie, they would want to get the third veteran. Then at that point, Lou, they probably would have traded Jalen Brown.
That's what I'm
for
saying.
That guy. Yeah,
and now
they would have done that.
Think about what you're going to get for Jalen Brown to go with Kyrie, a healthy Hayward, a young up-and-coming star in Tatum. You know, who's now the fourth or fifth option, right? But still, you could see it. Al Horford, the glue.
See, I think Danny wanted to do it. I think Danny actually wanted to do it the way Brooklyn's doing it right now, is that you have Kyrie.
He was close.
They wanted to get Anthony Davis. We all know that. So you get Anthony Davis, and then when you get those two pieces like that, that veteran who's dissatisfied wherever he is wants to come there. James Harden. James Harden had it in Houston. He was done. Kyrie was able, along with KD, able to lure him into Brooklyn. And right now, you've got to look at the Brooklyn Nets are a much better team than you are. They are a legitimate championship contender, and they're going to be around for the next few years while you're trying to build with these young kids. And
well,
you don't have any veterans.
You're definitely behind. I think whatever you thought the timeline was going to be, you probably need to alter and add a couple
Christian,
years.
Look at Atlanta. Atlanta's got a better future. When you look at the talent that they have right now, look around the league. They're falling way behind in the talent.
Yeah,
order.
You don't
Are
have all
not?
Those. You don't have all those assets like you used to have before. Before
well, the draft picks.
Well, those draft picks. That's what I mean. Like
the
before, when you
picks,
when you got
yeah.
When you got Tatum, when you got Jalen Brown, and you were close. I would say this: if you have any regrets, you probably look at it to your point, Lou, and say, man, we were really close because at that time, but he got hurt. When Hayward got hurt, you had Jalen, Tatum, Horford, Terry Rozier. You had you had Kyrie too.
Marcus Morris,
and then you had Marcus Smart. You actually had a pretty damn good squad.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. You know, you talk about they got a great future. Well, time flies, man. Great future to now you start talking about it like it's the past. You know, especially
you say rebuild.
I'm saying, you know, great future, and you're only a few years away from talking about that great future, as in as the past, because it's just where did it all go wrong? This game changes. I mean,
listen,
it's like the players decide to go wherever the hell they want to go.
You have two all-stars. Christian was talking about that, but I look around the league right now, and you talk about these other teams that are doing it the same way with young players. They may be in a better position than you. How about Phoenix, 20-11 right now? I loved them this season. I thought they were going to be terrific. Devin Booker didn't make the All-Star team. Now they've added him on as a replacement. Well, how did he not get in the All-Star team? He's been one of the best players in the league this year.
Yeah.
They have a much better team than you do right now.
Well, you start talking about the future, right? Like, great future. What are we talking about with Milwaukee right now? Remember, it's like, oh, they might lose Giannis. Oh, no, they brought in Drew Holiday. Now Giannis is happy. You think he's happy now?
Yes.
Like, you do?
Yeah, because the times they have not played well, Drew Holiday has been out of the lineup.
And
they're a different team with Drew Holiday.
With what? Okay, yeah. So he thinks
been
that
hurt.
Like, by giving him Drew Holiday was like a big boost to his basketball team.
Drew Holiday would have been Nets great here, Lou.
Okay, and then the Nets got put together. And now he's sitting there saying, they got Harden and I got Drew Holiday.
Yeah, that's a different story. Yeah, he might be looking at it that way.
But it was the whole thing, like, back then, Drew Holiday's a nice player. We all know that, right?
Yeah,
but
he's
still,
not Harden.
It's like, it's like, what are they going to do to keep Giannis happy? They're going to get Drew Holiday. And you're like, okay. I mean, he's a cute, nice player. You know, then the Nets go and they build a super team with Harden. And the next year, they're going to have more veterans want to come to him. And all of a sudden, this great future in Milwaukee, how long before Giannis is like, okay, now I want out? Because you couldn't build it.
I hate to say it, the super teams are the way to go. And that means the players are in control. And we may be getting that with NFL quarterbacks as well. All right, we get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF, brought to you this hour by East Coast Metal Roofing.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question. There's not a bad idea. And go.
Now back to OMF.
They're 100% worthy of trade deadline. You can't sit tight on this. Like, to me, you wait a month. The trade deadline's right about a month from now. You wait till they come back from All-Star break. You give it a couple weeks, but I think you make a move. You know, the problem is, what major move can you make with this team? You're not trading Tatum. I'm not. You're probably not trading Jaylen Brown, although I might. I mean, I know people think I'm crazy, but I might trade him because, man, his value is probably never going to get higher than it is right now.
That is Jeff Goodman on the Dale and Keefe show earlier today. I would say this. I think the value might get higher with Jaylen Brown, but I don't think he's out of line when he talks about having to trade one of these two away, and I think Jaylen would be the guy that you would trade away. Because what other moves can you make? And I know it sounds crazy. You've got two legitimate all-stars, but can the two of them ever become a championship-winning duo? Because you don't have, you already said it, Lou. They don't have the other personnel, and you've got no assets.
Well, number
to go
one,
and get yourself big time
trading Jaylen Brown. We got to have a serious discussion about who that is you're bringing in.
You're getting a big load in return for that.
Yes, okay, but I just think that if it comes to that, then you have failed. I mean, you failed. Like, you always talk about back in the day when this team was nothing. And this is, how does it happen? You know, you got to get lucky in a trade and find like an Isaiah Thomas, right, who turns out to be a great player. Or you got to hit on a draft. You got to find a guy late in the draft if you have late picks and turn it into Giannis or something like that. You got to get lucky. Or you got to have the third pick in the draft and turn it into two guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
So
which
let me give
he
you an,
did.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's put himself in a position, if you're telling me that that's what he has to do, then you have failed. And you should start looking at, and that's when Wick should start questioning Danny Ainge and saying, what am I doing here?
I would agree. They have failed. They started to go the veteran route. Kyrie left, and suddenly they said, oh, bleep, now we got to go the young route. But let's go back to what was rumored here about a month and a half ago. We spent time talking about it. Would you trade for James Harden?
No.
So if you had to deal Brown for Harden, looking at what you've seen that has happened to Brooklyn, and they look like certainly the best team in the East right now, would you not have done that deal if you could have added another piece?
Tell me why you would have.
Because I think you're a better team right now. Harden's a better player. He does more for you. He's that guy we're talking about that can do virtually everything. He's not a great defender. You're giving up defense with him versus
Jaylen. So tell me how it works. Jaylen. Harden comes here.
He
gave up Jaylen Brown.
Ball.
And he distributes to who?
Well, he distributes, obviously, to Tatum. You're still not there. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm saying
you still
so,
don't have what Brooklyn
and Harden's got 2 years on his deal. So he's going to be excited to spend near 2 years distributing to Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not getting into whether Harden's going to be happy. Certainly, he wouldn't come here. I'm just saying.
Well, if you're asking, would you do the deal? Don't we have to see if it. To talk it through, like if it would work, it made no sense.
We're playing make-believe.
Well, it made no sense.
Well, you were talking about what you would want in return. I would want a veteran who is close to 30 years of age who is going to give me a chance to win right now.
But without Jaylen Brown, you don't have a chance. Like, I'm just saying, like, you're bringing a veteran big? Like, what? No. It's to me, no. I mean, it's working for James Harden because he looks around, he sees Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Joe Harris. And he's like, yeah this is fun. I like distributing to these guys
right now. He's not playing with all those guys right
now.
No,
but when he's not, then he can go out and score 30 like he does every single night. But
no,
when they're healthy, yeah, he likes distributing those guys because he realizes how good of a team they are.
See, but that's what one of
these
guys.
It wouldn't be like that here.
One of these guys has got to develop and do that. They have to be more of a ball
distributor. Two of them is the point.
Well, no, right now he doesn't. They're playing the best basketball in the league without Kevin Durant, arguably the second, third best player in the freaking league. And they're winning every night. He hasn't played in weeks.
No, okay. I understand that. But then he can go back to James Harden putting up 35 points a game like he has been. He was player of the week last week because he put up 30 because Durant wasn't there. But I'm just saying he knows that Durant will come back. And he knows that he's got Durant, and he's got Kyrie, and then he's got Harris, who's, you know, so, I mean, he knows the team he has. He is happy in Brooklyn. He may even extend there in Brooklyn because he knows what they got.
Yeah,
if he came here to Boston, he's got nothing because it's not like he's playing with Tatum and Brown because Brown just left. But that trade made no sense.
But when you talk about the type of player you need to get that type of player. Because if you're talking about getting two mediocre players for Jalen Brown, I'm not interested.
Yeah, but the thing is, like,
you can't trade Jalen Brown.
The biggest issue in all of this is if you're right, Glenn, their insistence on replacing at least Kyrie. Like replacing that all-star, replacing that position, replacing that salary with a guy like Kemba Walker, assuming he'd be just at least available every night. That's a problem. You're going to be saddled with that guy and his contract for such a long period of time, and he's not even coming close to giving you what you need.
They got sold, at least they sold us on the fact that they were going to be a much nicer team. And I'm sure they're correct.
Oh, no.
Right?
I was
going to be much better in the locker room. Yeah. And
addition Kyrie's, by subtraction.
Right. And Kyrie is a real problem.
I bid on that one.
And the fan base bought it hook, line, and sinker. But you weren't looking at the talent of the two different players. They're not even in the same league
but
when you look at
them. You can't go there either, though. We bought it hook, line, and sinker.
I did.
So, okay. So if Kyrie stayed, we would have been fine?
No.
Okay. Kyrie had to go. There's nothing to buy. He had to go. Everybody knew it. And they were just, listen, a less talented point guard, but, you know, he's a better fit. The locker room, he'll kind of look at the kids and say, it's your team. Like, in theory, it worked. You know, in theory, these two kids are developing. It's just that he's got a knee issue and he's been inconsistent. And they don't have a fourth guy. They don't have a fifth guy. They don't have a sixth guy. So it's... it's a roster thing. If he can't build around those two kids, it's his fault, Danny Ainge.
But, Lou, the knee problem, and shame on Danny Ainge with this one, the knee problem has been there now for two seasons. Oh, yeah, by the way, the knee problem was an issue in Charlotte as well. So you had to know what you were getting, and then on top of that, you're getting an undersized shooting guard when what you needed is somebody that was going to shoot but also distribute the ball. Kemba can't do that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that. To the phones we go. Here's Mike in Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. There's a lot to unpack here. I mean, I heard you guys talking about Marcus Smart. When you have a team like ours, it's, I guess you would say, like, top-ish heavy on offensive talent and not a lot of guys that can do the other things. When you have the best defensive guard in the NBA and you lose him for an extended period of time and you ask other role players who have specific roles like Ojale, just stand in the corner, shoot threes and try to guard, you know, bigger, stronger guys, whatever. When you ask those guys that don't have the talent in them, to up their role and try and do what more talented guys are supposed to do, it's not going to work out well. I heard Perk talking about how, you know, Tatum and Brown need to stop complaining about the referees. Well, he's right in a point because the refs aren't going to give these guys the same kind of calls you're going to get from the other superstars in the league. It's just not going to happen.
But they're all-stars,
Mike.
They're all-stars.
Yeah, but they're not, like, face of the league all-stars where, you know, the benefit of the doubt is going to go their way.
Jason Tatum has his own bag of Ruffles potato chips. He's on a Subway commercial. What are you talking about?
Not going to get the calls, just get, like, I think it's more with Tatum than it is with Jaylen Brown. When I watch Jaylen Brown, he gets down, but it almost looks like the effort is still, like, he still tries hard, like, 99.9% of the time. With Tatum, if the shot's not going in, he's not getting the calls, it really affects him in such a negative manner where, like, now his defense suffers. He's not a bad defensive player, but not getting the calls that he thinks he deserves, and maybe he does deserve, affects him on the defensive end. So it's like, if you weren't shooting the ball well, if you're going 6-for-16, if you're still playing lights-out defense, you could get away with it. But if you're not doing anything on either end of the floor, it's a little ridiculous, especially when you have to have a situation where Kemba's out. So, like, I mean, it's frustrating overall. Like, these guys are insanely talented where it's one of those things was like, you know what the record is. You know you're a lot better than your record is. But, like, these guys, I mean, they have no choice right now but to pull it together. It's going to be, like, a huge embarrassment.
I don't think they're better than what their record is. I think they're exactly what their record is.
If Smart comes back, they'll be better.
Yes, they'll be better. But every team has got injuries. We're talking about Anthony Davis injured now, and he's been injured for a while, and it probably is going to be a while before he comes back in.
And they'll be better when he comes back.
We're talking about Drew Holiday being down. I mean, we can go through the whole league. The problem I have with them is they're getting beaten by young players. Young player last night. Young player in Dallas. Young player in New Orleans. They're losing to young players. It's not like they're losing to these that haven't played these great teams yet, the polished teams. Wait till they play them. Here's Tony in Revere. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Glenn, I'd like to follow up on something you mentioned a few minutes ago about the Celtics. I mean, they're soft team. They're soft. You had mentioned a guy that they should go after, Kyle Lowry. I love it. How about another guy that Scalabrine was drooling over last week, Josh Hart? Another tough guy, plays the toughest offensive player in the other team.
He had a great game against them.
We need.
Yep.
Exactly. Hart, Josh Hart, Kyle Lowry. I mean, come on, Danny. There's deals to be made. There's three teams in the East and four teams in the West that are playing good ball right now. Set seven teams in the whole league, East and West. There's deals to be made. Danny needs to do his job or take off, Danny, and retire to Phoenix and play golf.
I tell you, you talk about guys that Scal was drooling over. Did anybody get the impression that Scal was wishing that Rondo was on this team?
Yes.
Last night?
But he played with Rondo. He likes Rondo.
Oh, I know, but how many times is he pointing out Rondo? Look at Rondo. Look at the passes. Look how many open shots he's getting guys on this basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, he was bringing it up, like, just moving the ball, getting guys open shots. Like, he might as well just come out and say, this is exactly what they're missing.
Ideally, if you could unload Kemba Walker, which I'm not sure you could do, and you could bring somebody like Rondo or somebody like that, so you're not dealing with the top of the heap with point guard, it's not really expensive, and if you could add a shooter or two, you know, a veteran shooter, because the game today is, you know, slash, drive, kick it back out, and you get the open jump shooter, then maybe you solve some of these problems. But I don't know how you do it with the assets that you have. I mean, we've spent the last how many years talking about all of the assets that Danny had? This draft pick and that draft pick and that draft. Oh, they're loaded with assets.
Yeah.
They're done with the assets.
I'll say this, because Ryan reminded me, and he's my white whale.
Ryan's expression? Your white whale?
No. But this guy. You talking about Jalen Brown, who you going to trade him for? No.
No, a white whale would not be Al Horford.
No.
That would be like a nightmare.
Carl Anthony Towns.
The one who got away?
Yes.
Carl Anthony Towns. You want to trade away Jalen Brown? Carl Anthony Towns.
Okay, but
you know what happens with
still
the white
need,
whale,
you still,
right?
need, you still need somebody to distribute the ball. So maybe at that point you get a lesser point guard, a guy that is more of a ball distributor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you get Carl Anthony Towns. It's 4 years of control. He's making $29 million this year. The Timberwolves are an absolute disaster right now. They're
single-digit
wins.
Bill with Jalen Brown. Go get him.
But if you're going to trade Jalen, that's the kind of guy you got to start
with. See, here's the thing. Yep. Okay, the last time the Celtics pulled off an in-season trade, anybody?
Kendrick Perkins.
Anybody?
Isaiah
Thomas. About 6 years ago?
It's the only time, I believe, right?
It's longer than that now.
Tyler can look that up. It's the only time.
Isaiah hasn't been here for like 3 or 4 years.
I'm just saying, like, so the odds of them pulling off an in-season trade is just few and far between. Like, it's just not going to happen. No, they're not going to do it. Who do you want? Who do you want? We do this all the time with the Celtics. So Danny Ainge, with all his patience, with all his wheeling and dealing, and all his, like, great job, he got all these draft picks. This is where you're at now. This is where you're at.
I don't see how they do the deal. There are too many teams that are in the mix here to at least get into the play-in game for the playoffs. Then on top of and it'll go right down to the wire. And you tell me, you're general manager of another team. Stop me when there's a guy that you're interested in. Nesmith, Langford, Edwards. Waters, Pritchard.
Taco?
Taco. Where's there a guy that you're interested in? Maybe,
Devontae Green?
You're probably interested if you're a contender in Marcus Smart. But, again, what are you going to get back in return? And we've already seen, does anybody feel comfortable going the rest of the season adding somebody and losing Marcus Smart? And your first-round draft pick is going to be what, number 17?
I'm telling you.
Does that excite anybody?
The guy that you really want to move is the guy nobody will take. Like
Kemba.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would think, like, man, if he was just healthy, you would say, it's not working. He's still a good player.
Yeah.
He's a lot of money.
Just a bad fit.
It just doesn't fit with us. Yeah, why are you trading him, Danny? All-star
point guard.
Yeah. Why are you trading him? Is he hurt? No.
Not just to see
fit. Nope.
Can we see the doctor MRIs?
We lost them. We don't do that here. We go on the honor system.
Yeah, send them Pritchard's MRIs.
So I think it's interesting.
Kemba Walker and talk to Pritchard. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that another general manager is accusing Danny Ainge of trying to unload Kemba Walker being an injured case, they should be talking to Charlotte because Charlotte peddled him off to Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge obviously bought in that he was healthy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't see how any team right now takes Kemba at that salary. It's the last year, but he's got two more after this one.
I will say this. Celtics are off tonight. Thank God. I need a break from them.
Got
I
the
need
Bruins tonight, Christian.
I'm going to all in on the Bruins.
Locked in.
Four hours of Bruins
talk. I like Lou's tweet last night.
It's so true. I mean, the worst part about watching the Celtics is that they're on every night.
Every single
You
got to
watch it every single night. Like, at least Cam Newton and the Patriots offense gave us 6 days in between games. Imagine if watching Cam Newton and that offense 5 days a week.
I feel like we do it anyways.
I mean, five nights a week, at least four nights a week, I feel like you're watching the same movie.
Painful.
And it's like I'm attracted to, like, the car crash because I don't see it getting any better. These next four are home. Time to turn around. Coming home to the Garden Faithful.
Oh, yeah. You know? What the hell is happening to my basketball team?
I will say this.
He must be going nuts.
I would worry if I'm them. Ryan said this to us earlier today on the conference call, and he said, I'm done with him, right?
He broke me. This was the Patriots-Broncos game where I'm like, oh, it is not worth getting upset about this team anymore. Because if I am, it's on me, because I know what they are, and they're terrible. So, yeah, the last three games have been rough. This Hawks game, Danilo Gallinari getting 38 points. I'm done. Dunski.
Well, you could have probably got 28 the way they were defending him.
Let's go, Bees. I can't wait to watch some good athletes tonight. I think care about and take pride in their game. I don't think
Ryan's alone here. I do not think Ryan's alone. I think a lot of people are going to look at it. When you lack effort out there and you're not busting your ass, people are sitting there going, I want nothing to do with you. That's something they have to worry about, I think. I think it's an issue. There is nothing this show lives for more than catching famous people who are farting. Oh. That's right. Who farted? You're going to find out next. Hi, Mark.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Well, we love it when people fart on TV or in the radio.
Yeah, we're childish.
Stuff like that. We are childish.
Definitely immature.
In this case, our buddy Chris Mad Dog Russo, he's throwing to a commercial break on MLB Network. This is how it sounded.
Lots to do. Louis Rojas is next. We continue here on Mad Dog Unleashed. Back right after this.
No question. Not even a question.
You know why I believe it?
He thought he was off mic.
No. And he coughed. Didn't he? He coughed his knees. And that kind of... Yeah. Yeah, because when you cough, you don't like. I feel like you forget about like clenching, and when you cough, it almost like
let
forces you.
Yeah.
You just release it.
Good point.
And it pushes it out.
But, but the cough, this guy, the cough itself, he felt like he was off mic.
Yeah,
he wouldn't just cough into his mic. He thought they went to commercial.
See,
I think I've learned that lesson. You're never off mic, right? You're never off mic.
I want to see the video. I want to know if he lifted up one of his butt cheeks since he thought he was off mic and just said, oh, nobody's looking.
One more time, Ryan.
Lots to do. Louis Rojas is next. We continue here on Mad Dog Unleashed. Back right after this.
Oh, God, those mics are great.
Hey, they must have the X25W11 microphone. Those are the ones that pick up everything.
Definitely. He thought the commercial break had already started. Oh,
hello,
Mutt. Hi, Mark.
Is it Mark? What did Glenn call me?
Hi, Mark.
Mark.
I like Mart.
No, he made OMF.
Hi, Mark. Ups.
That's okay.
Well, you on Twitch yet?
Mark with a C.
Are you on Twitch yet?
It's funny you ask. No, it's weird. All the other shows are on Twitch.
Why aren't you on Twitter? Everybody's telling us that you should be on Twitch.
It's a very fair question. I get that question 10 or 20 times a day, Glenn. When the budget gets around to it, I guess we'll be on Twitch. Every other show is except for our show. Actually, it works out well. Every other show has a Red Sox guest tomorrow, but Monday Night's still working on one. So there you go. Interesting.
Oh, no.
You know what?
Who
I know
we got one tomorrow.
We got Alex Cora tomorrow.
That's right. We got Alex
Adam
Cora.
Adam Ottavino in the midday. Chris Sale in the morning.
I mean, you know a guy. I mean, I'm sure he could do something for you.
We're working on it right now.
Chris Sale.
We're
working on it. Chris Sale used to be our guy.
What happened to that?
I don't know, man.
I can't wait to do that tomorrow, right? I mean, listen, dude.
How did we lose Chris
How
Sale?
Many times do you think,
I don't know, man.
We got to do that for
Management produces the morning show now.
I know, right?
That's true.
The two program directors are going to feed all the guests that way.
That is true. But Alex, tomorrow, 2:30.
I'll be listening real quick.
We should have a new open for that tomorrow, don't you think, Tyler and Ryan?
I don't know, we should have a new open for Can we kind of muck it up a little bit? Not make it so serious?
Yeah, let's do that.
We should give him a Teddy Bruschi opening. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
One quick thing, Mart. It's Mart to you. Sorry, Mark. The Super Bowl bet... You should not have allowed Lou to wear a hat. There's no benefit to this. He wears a hat every day now.
No, he doesn't.
Really?
Not every day.
No.
Really?
Listen, every other day, maybe.
I would say he's actually pretty good with it.
I worked with you 4 days last, 3 days last week. You wore a hat every day.
I've seen you three days this week.
You wore a hat every Ryan. It's been
Has
every.
He really?
Yes.
I have not been paying attention.
He's had a scally cap. Maybe you're right. It's a smart move.
I give him credit. I like today's bad hair day.
It's like 50 degrees outside. Why are you wearing a beanie?
But it defeats the purpose of the bet.
Being embarrassed.
It defeats the purpose.
He did a whole hometown hero thing. Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's what he did. He did a TV.
I got TV tonight. Holly. Yeah, that's right. We're going to break it down. Giles.
TJP. Can't wait.
We got a football bet.
He might agree with Jim Rice. He might agree with him.
I thought Jim made some very good points.
Yes.
When I watched Evaldi pitch, yep. I think Pedro. I mean, I've said it before, but yeah. I'm glad
he takes the ball.
He
takes the ball 20 times a year.
NyQuil or something. He got all that energy.
What
do you got tonight?
We got a football expert, Tommy Curran, baseball expert, Will Fleming.
Nice.
Our guy for the Red Sox broadcast. So we have a busy show here tonight. And just for those who are on Twitch right now, goodbye, Twitch. Catch us on the radio, 93.7 WEEI.
That's awful. All right, boys, we're going to do it again tomorrow. Alex Cora, as you just heard, will join us for the first time tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen on demand on the free radio.com app. Just text app to 37937. We're back tomorrow with two. We're out of here. Stay safe out there. Hi, Mark.
Dale and Keith, 10 to 2.
Dale and Keith.
I want good teams to be better. And you want to know what Mac Jones is?
He's going to be better.
He's going to be no better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Good.
It's literally just changing out the contract.
Carolina. Good.
So this whole argument is based on your sympathy for the Carolina Panthers?
No. Mac Jones is not going in the top 10.
Saving this.
Go for it. Mac Jones isn't going in the top 10.
Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.